Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar. Others promise the moon, they deliver the sun. We're also brought to you by Rose's Cafe, a favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood of San Francisco for the past 20 years. Today's guest is Seth Everett from NBC Sports Radio. Well, Seth, I'm glad to have you on here. It's great to really catch up with you because you know, we used to do a talk show a long time ago in Syracuse when you were first getting out of college, and we've always run into each other along the way. And you have that national perspective, and I'm just curious what you think about the Giants because their start has been horrific. A lot of people had expectations for them, and they're not playing great baseball. I mean, at least they took two out of three from the Dodgers just recently. But what's your overall impression right now of San Francisco?
Well, before we get into the Giants, because I want to make a happy conversation, I'll make you a proposal. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. You referenced a show that you and I did. It was before I graduated.
Yeah,
so
that's
we're
right.
We're talking about 1994 or 95. If we can find the audio of that show, I think it's on cassette somewhere or something, I would say that I will put the first half of it on my podcast and the second half goes on yours, or vice versa, either way. But I think that would be something that I would dedicate an episode of my Sports with Friends podcast in exchange to air an old show that you and I did.
Wow. Well, I know it was the winter of 95 into 96. It was Hot Stove. It was for WHEN Radio in Syracuse, New York.
Oh, it has to be somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to get that, but that would be great. You're right. I mean, I can only imagine what we sounded like.
I know. I think my podcast should just be old archives of old shows.
It would be pretty cool.
So much more depressing.
Well, for Giants fans, it was in April. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong. They didn't play well.
Yep.
I'm just curious. I mean, I know everybody had an opinion on Madison Bumgarner and the dirt bike accident. So what were your thoughts when you first heard about it? And then just overall, when you had a chance to think about that and just players in general, you know, doing things like that on their off day.
Well, what I would say about Madison Bumgarner, well, let's take it as an isolated incident. As a guy that has been so dedicated to his craft, nobody feels worse than him. As mad as fans are, he feels the worst. So it's not a situation where you want to just hate on a guy and rip a guy. He knows he screwed up. You know, if we want to talk about permissions and what guys can do and, you know, should they live in a bubble and things like that, you know, the union is going to fight that tooth and nail. I just don't see that as being a fruitful venture. What I do think is it is very unfortunate. It's a microcosm of what's going on with that franchise, a team that I picked to win the division and possibly go to the World Series. And, you know, this idea that Madison Bumgarner let his teammates down, I've heard it all before. I listened to San Francisco Sports Radio. I was on San Francisco Sports Radio. What can I say that's going to ease the pain because he feels worse?
Right. And how much did he get as far as credibility coming into this year? I mean, look, I mean, his salary is not up there with where it should be. And he helped them, pretty much took the team on its back to win the 2014 World Series. So you have to cut him a break at some point, don't you?
Well, it's not a question of cut him a break. It's a, what do you want to do to him? You know what I mean? Like, you know, there were people who were saying they should cut him. Well, who loses that way? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's this adage in sports that, you know, fans care more than players. And I subscribe to that. I understand that. But in this circumstance, as bad as he feels, you know, he knows it was stupid. You know, that media session, I don't know if you were there, but I saw it online. I saw, you know, Bumgarner was sitting in the dugout, Bochy was there, and they both kind of spoke back to back. What else needs to be said? He took full responsibility for the situation. I wouldn't punish him. You know, it's not that he shouldn't get paid or all those different things, because that's what they have a players union for. And sometimes the players union protects the player who did something stupid.
Yeah, and then now you think about going ahead from this to, you know, how do you play winning baseball? And you look at the Dodgers last year, they were able to still get to the NLCS when Kershaw was out for a big chunk of time. The Giants, I don't know, can they withstand this?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a residual effect for the pitching staff. Everybody's got to put a little more pressure on themselves. You know, the offense isn't really clicking the way that it could be. I mean, Posey's been hitting for a great average, but not driving in runs the way you'd like to see. It's just kind of everything together has been bothersome. You know, Brandon Crawford has been out a little bit here with a groin issue. It's just not the same team right now. But, you know, when do you start to panic, Seth? When do you look at it and say, okay, this team needs to make a move? They didn't get a left fielder in the offseason. They're kind of patching that together. You know, should they do something right away? Is it something that you kind of look at it and wait?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, first of all, I never look at the standings until Memorial Day.
Uh-huh.
You know, my tradition in Memorial Day is I watch the NCAA lacrosse national championship game, which I have a 50-50 shot of my Syracuse Orange being in it. And then I look at the standings and I kind of take stock in what these seasons have been. It's amazing how there's been some dramatic teams that have had really, really bad starts. Kansas City, Toronto, and San Francisco. And, you know, in the situation of Toronto, I think they're screwed because I don't think they're catching the Orioles or the Red Sox. But in the NL West, what are we talking about here? I don't want to speak out of school, but are we really talking about the Giants catching the Colorado Rockies?
Right.
I do stuff in Denver, so I'm not trying to disparage, but they don't know what they have. You know, Bud Black says it himself, like the whole mission for this first month of the season was to figure out if those pitchers were people he wanted to go to battle with. Well, he still doesn't know the answer to that, and they're in first place. So that bodes well for the future of the Colorado Rockies, but if you're telling me that the Giants were catching a great Dodgers team, they're not, and Arizona and Colorado are just really a big question mark because no one knows what to expect. So you factor those two things in, and that's why I would say I wouldn't cancel the rest of the season. I would try to play these games.
We'll have more with Seth Everett from NBC Sports Radio right after this. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense. And when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower Elite Commercial and Elite Residential installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. Sun First Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect, and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no roof or project that is too complicated. Sun First has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from Sun First Solar today. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. What about left field, though? I mean, with Bobby Evans, the general manager, coming into the year, he thought, okay, I've got Jared Parker. You know, I could patch this together. Maybe a Michael Morse comes up, helps us out. You know, more of a veteran right-handed batter. You got Parker. Parker gets hurt. He was terrible. They had Chris Marrero made the team. He was terrible. You know, Morse isn't going to play every day, and they're not even playing him in the outfield. They're playing him at first, and they're moving Brandon Belt to the outfield. So, you know, how much money do you spend? If you're the Dodgers, you spend no matter what. If you're the Giants and if you were Bobby Evans, did he make a mistake by not taking care of left field? That was the one position that you kind of looked at in the offseason, and you wondered if the Giants would spend some more money.
Well, you know, but I just, and I read that, you know, I don't know who the writer was that I read that, but I read that, you know, it's easy to say in hindsight that you shouldn't have got a left fielder. Now, here's my argument. Last year, that team would have won the division handle it if they protect half of the blown lead.
Right.
Okay? What was it, 36 blown leads? So if you do half, they run away with the National League East, National League West.
Right.
So that being said, my big thing was, I don't give a crap who's the left fielder. I never said it was a perfect baseball team, but with that rotation and a legitimate closer, can you close half of those blown leads and finish those games? That's all I was asking for, and I literally had said, I did this big prediction show for NBC Sports Radio, and that was literally the only thing I said was, just divide that number in half, and they should cruise to the division. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say, well, now, boy, they really missed up on their quest for a left fielder, because I didn't make a big deal about it when we were talking in January.
Right. Well, so they went and they spent money on a veteran closer, and yeah, he blew the save on opening day.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that.
I was there to witness that. But you know what? I mean, over the course of the long haul, it's going to be a great move to have Melanson as your closer. You know, he's been pretty solid. He blew one other one, but he'll be solid. But how about when you have a situation like third base where, you know, all of a sudden you're thinking, let's give a shot to this young kid, Christian Arroyo, who was tearing it up in AAA. He's only 21 years old. And people wondered, is this too early? Well, it doesn't look like it. He looks like he could totally handle it. And I wonder, on just to the bigger picture of baseball, Seth, these young guys seem to be able to handle these situations, and maybe we're overrating it as far as saying, oh, you got to wait, he needs more experience. Maybe young guys do deserve chances.
I call that my Alex Gordon theory. Alex Gordon, everyone said, oh, my goodness, how can the Royals bring him up? What are they going to do to him? I have a general rule, and players have taught me this. You know, all partners that I had over the years that were players, they were the ones who taught me this. This wasn't my own theory, but if you're a position player, you cannot come up to the big leagues early enough. There is nothing that you can't learn at the big league level. That being said, if you are a pitcher, it's exactly the opposite. When you're a pitcher, if you bring a pitcher up and he's not ready, you could lose the pitcher for years before they get it, because everything has to be in increments. The absolute ability of a pitcher to get faith in his stuff, that's something that has to evolve over time. That will not happen against a major league lineup. But a hitter, he can hit 100 for a year. It's okay. That doesn't necessarily mean the guy can't be a productive player. So as a general rule, I would say if he's a position player, bring him up. If that's your best angle, that's the guy your scouts feel is ready, go for it. Because even if you're wrong, you're not going to screw the guy. But if it's a pitcher, I always say no.
And thus, the Giants have brought up Arroyo, but they didn't bring up Tyler Beede when maybe they could have if they thought, you know, they needed another pitcher. Instead, they put Ty Block in the rotation when Bumgarner got hurt. So, you know, that kind of proves your theory. Here's the other part of that. With Christian Arroyo, he's in the lineup every day. If you're looking for a jolt of energy, an everyday player gives you that, a 21-year-old, where a pitcher, you know, you're waiting every 5 days.
Yeah, and the mental job of a pitcher, you know, it's just a matter of having faith, you know. I just did this thing in Milwaukee with Willie Peralta. Willie Peralta has a live arm, and he just, once he falls behind, you know, in the past, Willie Peralta would always just rely on his arm and his arm strength, because that's what he's known throughout his life. When can you teach a pitcher to have faith that behind the count, 2-1, even 3-1, that you can throw a breaking pitch because the hitter's sitting dead red? That's a growth thing. I don't know how to teach that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There are pitching coaches that have gone through baseball that don't know how to teach that properly. And to me, that's an invaluable skill.
More with Seth Everett from NBC Sports Radio in just a moment.
Right about the time when AT&T Park had groundbreaking ceremonies in the late 90s, San Francisco was celebrating the opening of Roses Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Roses continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Roses bakes all of their own pastries and bread. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours at www.rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Roses Cafe in Cal Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Let's talk about the biggest story in baseball this week, and that would be the series with the Orioles and the Red Sox and what's been going on there with just this beanball war. Manny Machado, pitches coming at his head left and right. Him hitting, a home run that was massive, 466 feet, very slow trip around the bases. You know, the slide that he had against Pedroia. To me, it's all silliness, Seth. I mean, what were your thoughts about it?
Well, it makes me love interdivisional games. It's another argument against interleague play, which anytime you want to have. My attitude about the whole thing is, Kevin Gausman had a warning. Rob Manfred called both Buck Showalter and John Farrell and warned both teams that nobody was throwing inside, and here Kevin Gausman threw behind him, and he got ejected from the game. Chris Sale was much more egregious, but he hadn't been warned. Chris Sale has pinpoint control. It's part of a rivalry. It happens in baseball. It gets a little overblown. But I love that they're going to play, 12 more times? Great. that's fine. They can't play enough if it's up to me. As far as the stuff with Adam Jones in Boston, that's a bigger picture issue. And to tell you the truth, I thought the most poignant comments were from CeCe Sabathia, who said the only time in his 20-year career or whatever, however long he's been pitching, the only time he's ever been called the N-word is in Boston. And he wasn't on the Orioles, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't even there. He was just volunteering that information. Adam Jones, I thought, was right in saying what he did. And, I just don't understand. The folks in Boston, they do such a great job of rallying around things. Think about what happened with the awful tragedy at the marathon.
Yeah.
And how quickly people in Boston rallied around each other. If you are a fan listening to this podcast and you believe that you do not like the stigma that Boston is a racist city, then do me a favor. If you see these egregious acts, pick up your phone. It's in your hand anyway. Don't kid yourself. Record the thing and tweet it. And I promise you, there are reporters scouring the internet looking for these videos. Get these guys called on the carpet. This is the first time it happens, and a guy is publicly shamed for being a racist and being outed on social media. That will stop instantly. And this idea that you're banning for life, how do you ban a person from a baseball stadium for life?
Right.
That's the same thing like taking wins away from a college program. Like, what are you talking about? Unless you're getting Professor Xavier's facial recognition software, I don't understand. You'd have to go to the ballpark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game. How long are we checking these tickets? I don't understand any of that.
No, I agree with you. I think that it is incumbent upon the fans to point out who it is. And maybe even just the public shame alone is enough of a punishment. Banning somebody from a stadium. You're right. How possible is that? But if you are publicly shamed, I mean, look what happened to Bartman. And all he did was try to catch a foul ball, He doesn't show up again. So if you are publicly shamed for this, I think it is incumbent upon all the fans around somebody like that to take notice.
Yeah, I just think that, when it came to Boston, look, I have heard the stigma. I have heard these conversations. I mean, there's no secret. Whenever I used to do a feature for Jackie Robinson Day, the Red Sox were the last team to integrate. I mean, that they can't escape that kind of history. But the fact of the matter is that there are good people in Boston. It's a lovely community. And they shouldn't be labeled because of these drunk idiots. And I just hope that someone outs them. Just call them on the carpet. Anytime somebody says anything inappropriate, it gets blown up on Twitter. Blow this up.
Absolutely. To finish up, let's talk about the upcoming series the Giants have in New York against the Mets. It starts on Monday. And just what you think about what's happening with that ball club and Noah Syndergaard, their ace, he's out just like Bumgarner for a different reason, of course. He has the lat injury, but, I mean, that came after he had some discomfort in his biceps, and then, he just went out there and pitched, didn't want to have the MRI. I mean, that whole thing was really strange. What happened there?
Well, Noah Syndergaard and I got into a little tiff.
I heard about that.
That's fine. He blocked me on Twitter, so now I can't see his jovial Thor tweet. Thursday, he had a biceps problem. And it was a soreness, and they weren't sure if it was tendonitis or what. They recommended an MRI, and he refused it. Now, he met with the media before he was going to have the MRI and before he refused it. So after he refused it, the New York media, and there's a lot of them, but they're good friends of mine. And don't forget, this was less than 48 hours after ESPN had just laid off 100 people.
Right.
So
right.
Let's just say I was a little sensitive at the time to the media. Noah Syndergaard decided to scream at Jay Horowitz, the Mets public relations guy. You know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, Jay, get your minions out of here.
That's
and
not right.
I just said that's a joke. Like, he should have more class. I said, it's real funny when he wants to do funny videos and call himself names and do all kinds of cutesy things. But when the going gets a little tough, you'd be a man. And I said, if you're going to equate him to a Marvel character, I would drop Thor. He reminds me more of Squirrel Girl.
So
that happened. And then and that was all well and good. That got a little play on social media. But then Sunday happened, and I was still steaming about the Minions comment. I just thought that was inappropriate. And he goes out on the mound. Now, I just want you to know that I did my due diligence in the back. I talked to Craig Counsell, the Brewers manager, and I had said to him, if there's a pitcher on your staff, I don't care if it's Noah Syndergaard, Willie Peralta, or just, you know, the 12th guy on your roster, and he's talking about any kind of soreness in the bicep, this is his response. Craig Counsell said, the guy is not allowed in his apartment until he gets an MRI. Like, he's not going home. He's probably not even taking a shower.
It's not your choice, right? It's not your choice.
Well,
basically.
The union says that you can refuse it, but you're an idiot if you do.
Right.
And so he does this, and not only does he say he's okay to pitch, the Mets are so afraid of bad press. They are literally in fear of the columnists and talk radio. They literally, their ownership group just is obsessed with it. They are worried about every single thing you say, which is unlike the 29 other teams in baseball, including the other one in New York. So that being said, he takes the mound on Sunday. And he is not only throwing, but he's now out to prove that he's four again, Squirrel Girl. And so he throws 101 miles an hour and then tears a muscle in his arm. And now, instead of having tendonitis and out for maybe two starts, now he's out for 3 months. And so what I tweeted was, well, now at least he can't call the reporters minions. Ain't karma. Ain't karma a bitch. And Met fans took issue with that. That's fine. And then, Pete, you know, I used to work for the Mets Radio Network, and I haven't in 3 years. And people were tweeting the flagship station saying, how can you let this guy on your broadcast? And I was just like, well, that guy left on his own volition three years ago. So, that team could go screw themselves. And, it's just that's fine. And Noah Syndergaard and I, we're not going to, go have lunch together. But I know this. He has got a lot more time on his hands.
He does. And now how do the Mets recover from that? Because the Nationals are off to a really good start. And, same thing with the Giants. There's the residual effect. Other players, other pitchers have to step up. You always wonder about the health of that staff anyway. I mean, it's been fragile. So what happens going forward? I mean, do they have enough is my question.
What do I think? What I think is I never picked them to win. I never drank the Kool-Aid. I didn't like the lineup. I just thought that you're never going to get consistency out of guys like Jose Reyes and Curtis Granderson. I just thought that in reality they had Cespedes, who, by the way, is also hurt, and I just didn't think they had a balanced lineup like the Nationals have. The Nationals have their seven hitter who can hit, the ball 500 feet. The Nationals, to me, look like a more complete team, and, in Dusty, we trust you. So you remember Dusty.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that team has a great sense of urgency. The Nationals know that Bryce Harper is going to walk, and they fully expect him to walk. It's not the end of this season, but it is the end of next season, and, he's got something to prove also. So think about everything I just said and say, how is any of that bad for the Nationals in 2017? I just think they're going to win 100 games and challenge the Cubbies, and we'll see. Well, I'd love to see the Nationals get another crack at them. because I think they're a really, really good team. And I've said that, you know, a lot. So, you know, are the Mets still a force to be reckoned with? Any one of those guys can right their ship at any time. But Matt Harvey's been lousy. Jacob DeGrom's been inconsistent. He, you know, he was asked the other day, what does he see? You know, what's going on with him? He goes, well, I have no idea. I love when pitchers say that they have no idea. So I just think that they're, you know, they should all go hang out with Thor. They could be their own little Avengers. You know, can I tell you a thing about comic books and Matt Harvey?
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you a funny story about Matt Harvey. So Matt Harvey, they call him the Dark Knight.
Right.
Okay. You know, I'm a big comic book guy.
Yeah, so, I do know that.
So I noticed that, and I went to his locker one day when I was working with the Mets in 2014, and I went to his locker, and he has above his locker a Batman logo, but it's a very specific Batman logo. It's the logo for the 1999 animated series Batman Beyond.
Okay.
Which is a show where, you know, Bruce Wayne is like in his 80s, and he recruits a young kid to kind of take over the mantle of Batman. And it's a really neat animated series. But I was really impressed. I was like, Matt Harvey, Batman Beyond reference, that's a deep cut. That's inside baseball. I like that. And I went up to him, because remember, he was on rehab, so he wasn't there every day. And I went up to him first chance I got, and I said, oh, that's impressive, the Batman Beyond thing. And he goes, what the hell is Batman Beyond?
Why wouldn't he know?
I said, what? He goes, I don't know. Somebody made that for me.
Oh, he has no idea.
I said, you're the funny Dark Knight. I was like, well, what? These guys keep talking about superheroes. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
They just go along with it. They have no idea the inside story of it.
I was offended as a comic book fan. And it was very funny because I remember that year, a bunch of players and I went to see the first Guardians of the Galaxy. And I wondered the whole time if Matt Harvey was going to go, because what kind of a comic fan doesn't know what Batman Beyond is?
He better brush up on this.
You would think.
Well, Seth, it's great chatting with you again. I mean, I have a feeling this was a better podcast, you know, than radio show that we had 21 years ago. What do you think?
We'll see. We'll see what happens after that.
When we find the tape. Right, exactly. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you down the road later this season.
You got it, buddy.
That's Seth Everett from NBC Sports Radio. We'll catch up with John Shea next week from the San Francisco Chronicle. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.